This morning, I'd ask you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, we're considering verse 28 through verse 30. As we come this morning to the passage, I remind you that this is a short series in our great confidence in the work of God. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." What great comfort. You know what it's like this morning to be out from under the condemnation of your sin. You know what it's like this morning to be wholly dependent upon the work of Jesus Christ and His cross and resurrection for you. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's our great comfort. But what's that comfort based upon? This tells us our text that it is upon God's foreknowing, predestinating love that is fit for us in an effectual calling that brings about next week justification and the week after that glorification. It's all the work of God. God is at work. And for us, that is great confidence. Would you pray with me and let's hear God's word together this morning? Please pray. Our Father in heaven, we are indeed thankful that you have not left our salvation in our hands, but you have placed it in the hands of Jesus, who has secured our place, secured our hope, has secured our eternity. So, Father, would you speak to us now and help us now, even as we receive your word, may we be a people of the word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's the word of God for us. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Wade. That's how the call would come when I was a boy, when my mom wanted me to come in the evening. When she would look, we had 2 acres overlooking Big Soddy Lake just off the Tennessee River. And I could be anywhere on those 2 acres. As a matter of fact, just across the street from our 2 acres was another maybe 100, 200 acres that my brother and I liked to play in. And then when the water was down, because the Tennessee River is a dam lock system, so sometimes the water would be up and sometimes it would be down. When the water was down under dam control, we would play along the frontage of the beach. And so Mom, when she would come out in the evening, she would call us, "Wade, Lance." We didn't pay much attention. "Wade Coleman." Not much more attention, but a little more attention. "Wade Francis Coleman." There was no refusing that call. Instantly, out of the woods, off the shoreline, wherever we were, we responded when Mom used all 3 names. Wade Francis Coleman, Lance Benjamin Coleman, "Get here right now." Whatever the purpose, when Mom called with all our name, it was irrefutable, irresistible, and we were on the run. And we were trained that way. Mom often wondered why we didn't come at Wade. Well, there was no problem if you didn't come at Wade. Or at Wade Coleman. But at Wade Francis Coleman, there was a move in my soul towards the call of my mother. Now, God's call of us is much more profound than the call of a mom to her son. But God moves us that way. He gives us a call, and all a call, to the gospel love of Christ. There is this open call of the gospel. But there is this move where the Father calls the name of His children, and in that call, we respond to gospel truth. One of the beauties of the gospel is this, is that God, from all eternity into time, called a people for all eternity to Himself. And this morning, we have the great confidence of the work and word of our God. Those whom He foreknew, He predestined. Those whom He predestined, He called to be justified and glorified. You see there the plan of God. God had a plan from all eternity past to make a people for Himself. He knew them in love. He procured for them a place. That's foreknow, predestined. And then He effectually called a people that He justified, made right with Himself, and glorified, promised that in life forever, the presence of sin would be eradicated. That God at work, that we may know His great love. We are called of God to respond. We are called of God into life. And God hasn't left that work in our hands. God has placed that work squarely upon Jesus' shoulders through the blessing and calling of the Holy Spirit into our lives. Effectual calling, gospel calling, are the way that God enlivens our hearts to be drawn near to Him. You know, we often think of calling, some of us think of calling in the big things in life, right? We tend to think of calling in very personal ways. Why am I here? What does God have for me? What should I invest my life in? What career? Should I get married or should I not get married? Where will I live? How are things going to go? We tend to think of calling in very personal ways, and the Bible has a lot to say about personal calling and gives us discernment and direction in how to live our lives. But before you can really get a grasp on God's calling for your life, it's helpful to step back and see God's particular calling in your salvation. Knowing you belong helps in those moments when you are seeking God for the next step in life. And it's that calling that we speak of this morning. The calling of the assurance of God's work in God's people. Known, loved, set apart, and called out to a great salvation. That's what we have here this morning in our text. The effectual call of God. And we are called into life in Christ. We are called into life in Christ. The spiritual life that we have is initiated by the power of God's own Word. That's our hope this morning. But it's also our security this morning. Our hope is that God is at work. Our security is what God takes hold of. He will certainly hold to the end. He who began a good work in you, we're told in Philippians 1, He will see it to completion. The whole view of salvation is in view here in Romans 8, 28 through 30. But particularly this morning, as we're working our way one word at a time, foreknown, predestined, called, there is this very particular way that God, by His Spirit, reaches in our lives and draws us by name to Himself. Wade Francis Coleman, you are mine. Why did I listen to my mother's voice? Because she was my mother. There was a little fear there sometimes. But mostly it was because I belonged. I was hers. She was mine. You see the heart of God here when He assures us that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus and that God is working everything for our good. Not that all things are good, but that He's working everything for our good. How can we be assured of that? Because we are known and loved and called by the Father. Because of the finished work of the Son, in the powerful speaking of the Spirit who woos our hearts. Notice in our text this effectual calling, but in the Bible, there really are two ways that calling is used. There's two definitive ways that the Bible speaks of calling. The first is gospel calling. Gospel calling is that general call that God makes through the preached word, through the biblical word that goes out to many so that they may hear. It gives us hope. It leaves us without excuse. But then the Bible often talks of a second category of calling, that is this effectual calling. This specific calling that regenerates the heart of the believer to trust God. And I want you to see a little about both because I think it will help you in the confidence, the security that God gives His children. Remember, in this study, our hope is to see the assurance that is rightfully ours because God has authored, finished, and offers the joy of our salvation to us this morning. First of all, I want you to see this gospel call. You see, the gospel calling is the external proclamation of the gospel. It's ever going. It has true that God has defined His effectual call to be procured in most of our lives through this general call, this gospel call. Can you remember, if you are a Christian, can you remember how God prompted your heart to respond? Maybe you're not a Christian this morning and you're asking questions about God. How does one know God? Well, there is this calling that God places upon us by His Word, and that's a gospel call. It looks like this in the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, speaking to the crowd, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." An open call. Come to me. Jesus is at the temple of Tabernacles, that great temple of lights where the Israelites would have the great Jewish camp out. They would celebrate, and on the great day of the feast, the last day, the great day of the feast, in John chapter 7, Jesus looks out to the crowd and He says to them, "All who are thirsty, come unto me and drink." There is the call to come. It makes us see the need that is there, and it also reminds us that we must be supplied in our need by Jesus. Jesus is the one who gives rest to the soul, who gives drink to the spirit, who gives hope to life. But how does that call come? Well, we're told that it comes through the preached word. Paul himself, in just a couple of chapters from our chapter here in Romans 8, he says in Romans chapter 10, after dealing with the sovereignty of God's purposes and choice of His people, how are those people to come to Him? He says, how will they call on Him when they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him when they have not heard? Who will preach to them? And then he quotes from Isaiah, "Beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news." See, we believe in the gospel calling that God gives to a people. And we're even a part of that calling. God has bound Himself by His Word and in the work of His Spirit to save people. But He uses folks like us to share the love of Christ, to give the call of Christ. Why? Because the gospel is going. And it is effective to the purposes of God, but it is general in that it is promoting the call of people to, in their need to come to God. Jesus in Luke chapter 14, He tells a parable of one wedding feast. Jesus in chapter 14, He was asked to come into the house of a Pharisee. The Pharisees were looking for a way to accuse Jesus. They had invited Him to a banquet and they were observing everything He did. Jesus was in a conversation with them. And the Pharisees loved the people they loved and they hated everybody else. Was part of what Jesus was picking up there. But Jesus tells them a parable. He said, there's a parable of a man who was preparing a feast. He prepared a great banquet. And he invited people to come to the banquet. But when the time of when the banquet was made ready, he sent out for those to be called to the banquet. And there was one, the leader of directing the banquet went out and he came to one who had bought some oxen. He said, "Come." And he said, "I have bought some oxen. I can't come." To another one who had purchased some property, he said, "Come, the feast is ready." He said, "I have purchased some property. I can't come right." To another who had just been married, he said, "Come." He said, I have been married. I can no longer come." Goes back to the master and the master is disturbed and he says, "Go out to those who are lame and poor. who are weak and invite them in. And after the steward of the feast comes back, he says, there's still room. And he says, go out to those who are in the highways and the hedges and invite them to come. See, there's this gospel call that goes through God's church. We make the open call of God to all who will listen because God is at work. And He uses even us to share the love of Christ. But out of that gospel call, God's Spirit works effectually. And there is the effectual call of God. And that's the heart of our text this morning. The Bible says the calling of God is to go. But there is this calling that God places upon His people where their hearts are moved to respond to Him. That effectual call that changes a hard-heartedness to a soft-heartedness. Or in Ezekiel 36, from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. How does that call work? Well, we're told in other places in the Bible that God promises that when He sends His Word forth, it will not return to Him void. Come, Isaiah 55. Come and receive. Receive that which you can't buy. Why? Because God's Word goes forth and it accomplishes all the purposes that God has for us. It accomplishes all His purposes. The rain and the snow falls. It doesn't return. It invests the field and the seed flowers up and it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Why? Because my word will not return to me void. It will accomplish the purposes which I have set it to. In Ezekiel 37, we're told of the calling of God that it is God who puts life into a people to trust Him and believe Him. We see a vision, one of the visions that Ezekiel has in chapter 37. He is brought by God into a valley of dry bones. It's kind of an eerie situation. Filled and covered with dry bones, and God speaks to him and he says, how shall they live? And the prophet says, you know God. And God does. And God says, I will breathe on these dry bones. And that breath will bring them to life, sinew and flesh. And they will rise up. And in this vision in Ezekiel, a great multitude rise up because God had breathed life into them. Effectually called them. Given life. Regenerated. And what I want you to understand this morning is that it is gifted and given to us life that we may trust God. That we may believe. What comes first? Life or faith? It's a great biblical question. It's a question that James Montgomery Boyce asked in his commentary on this passage. And you see in Ezekiel, you see that power of life be given and belief ushering forth out of a people of God. Jesus went to Lazarus' tomb, his dear friend. He had waited so that Lazarus' death would be complete. It was the common belief among the Jews that once you had been in the grave three days, you weren't just dead, you were dead. The Spirit had gone on to be with God. And Jesus gets to Lazarus' tomb 3 days past his death. And he looks at the tomb and what does he say? Lazarus, come forth. His word ushered life into Lazarus' dead body. In the same way, Ezekiel is telling us that's what spiritual life looks like. Jesus' word, through His Spirit, ushers life into dead souls that we may believe and trust Him. What I want you to see this morning is there is great comfort for the called of God. God knows. God is at work. God loves to place His love on a people and to call into life faith that trusts. You know, some of us long to know God deeper. And God's put that call upon our life. Some of us have great questions about God and what He's doing. And we seek a God who calls us out of death into life. God is at work. And He is at work by His grace. And this is what grips us. God makes us alive. He equips us to respond. He overcomes evil. He overcomes the rebellion of our heart by His Word, and He draws us out of death into life. See, effectual calling and new life are intimately connected. The gift of a heart, a gift of a new love, a gift of a new perspective are all gifts that God gives us so that we may believe and so that we might walk in security. Our security is not placed in our hands. It's placed in Jesus' hands, who takes hold of us and holds us fast as we are made right with God. And as we long for the day when Jesus returns and gives us the hope of glory eternal in the presence of God. I want you to see this morning that one of the things that gives us confidence in life is that God calls His people effectually. You know, the truth is, in my life, there's not much effective there. Every day, I don't know if you do this, every day I make a list of the things I am to do. Anybody else make lists? Anybody get through that list? Could you teach me how to get through my list? Every day, I make a weekly list, I make a monthly list, and I make a daily list. I even break my list down this way. Things that must be done, things that should be done, things that could be done. Any of y'all do that? And the day doesn't end until the things that must be done must be done. And that's when I know. But the should and the coulds, it seems like they always get pushed to the next day. You ever have things on your list that just get pushed and pushed and pushed to the next day? That's my life. You know, we start out at the beginning of the week, and then I think it was 3 days of hospital visits this week. Different family members. Kidney infection. One cancer appointment, Dad, that turned into 5 appointments in the same day. It blows the mind. And I look at my list, and my list is not getting done. Truth is, I'm not very effective. How effective are you? You know, I've got a plan. I try to work my plan. Every leadership guru I've ever said, make a plan and work your plan. It's still my plan. It gets upset. But one of the things I delight in the gospel is that God has a plan and His plan is effective. Even where I am ineffective in accomplishing the things that may be good and desirable, I fall flat on my face again and again. But God never does. His plan is effective. God's to-do list, so to speak, it always gets done in the order that He wants, in the way that He wants, for the purposes that He wants. One of the great gifts of the gospel teaches us we can't depend on ourselves, but we can depend on God. You know, effectual calling, the work of God and the Word of God is certain biblically. What He sets His heart to, He will do. What I set my heart to, I may do. But I will tell you, it gives me great confidence, and I hope it gives you great confidence, that God is at work and He will bring about His will for His people. Now that kills pride and it squashes insecurity. One of the things that we're reminded as if we work through Romans chapter 8 here and into Romans chapter 9 is that God gives us assurance that God is God and that we're not. That God has given us assurance of our life with Him. But one of the things He does is He kills the pride of our heart. No boasting. No boasting. I love the verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let me find it here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purposes and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Pride is crushed in the effectual call of God. We're not a prideful people, but we're a secure people. We don't have to continue proving ourselves to God because God has called out, He has given life. And we live by faith. The effectual call of God at work in the people of God, it calls us to thanks, not to boasting. You know, I'll never show up before God and say, God, here it is. Here's the ledger. Here's why you should accept me. That's not gospel, is it? No, the gospel is, God, you have done it all. Here, I plead the mercies of Christ and the calling of your grace. Thank you, thank you, thank you for placing a call on my life. No boast except Jesus. But there is great security. You know, the effectual call of God squashes the insecurities and the questioning of our soul. For many of us, there are those constant questions. Is this real? Does God care? Why is this happening to me? And we can always take our hearts to the work of Christ, applied in the call of Christ. Not by works we've done, but His work is done. And by His grace and for His purpose, we believe and we may rest in Him. One of the things I love about the effectual call of God is that it is indispensable and undefeatable in the life of His people. Are you effective? God's effective. Are you always on top of it? Or are you like me? I'll keep making my list again and again and again, but every day I have to pray over my list. God, this is my desire for the day. Have your way in my life today. You know, the beauty of the gospel is that God calls and God leads and God gives us the grace for the day. It is undefeatable. It is indestructible. It is ours in Christ Jesus. But notice that this calling is going global. You know, you might say, well, if God's the one who does all the work, why are we sharing? That's why I wanted you to see biblically there are these two callings. There is the effectual calling of God. He truly does the work, but He truly does the work even through us, His church, by His word, in His world. The calling of God is going global. When we go to South College Station in our multi-site, I love what Ben said this morning. When we go there, you're the announcement. But you're the announcement right here too. Everywhere we go, we are the announcement of the effectual call of God and the life that God gives in salvation. Our joy is His joy. Our grace is His given to us in union with Christ, in the person and work of Christ. You see, we're a part of that gospel work. Because our lives are sharing the effectual call of God in our lives and calling others to the joy of life in Christ. Some people ask me sometimes, Wade, if you're a sovereigntist, if you believe that God's in charge, why do you share the gospel? Well, the answer is simple. Because the Bible says, go. Going, share the gospel. God commands it. That's the reason. But the question has a further answer too. I go not to manipulate, but I go with the privilege of seeing God at work. You know, as a pastor, I have this great opportunity. There are people who don't want to talk to me at all. I walk in, they, what do? I'm a pastor. They walk off. You ever get that? If you're a pastor, you get that sometimes. It's okay. I can pray for them as they're walking off, just like I can pray for them when they're standing with me. But oftentimes, because I'm a pastor, people will come and they'll ask me questions. It'll look something like this. Not too long ago, a lady came to me. She had recently been converted. She had gotten my name and she had written me. And so I began to meet with her and her husband. Now, she was new to the faith and her husband wasn't a believer. And instantly on her heart was she wanted her husband to be where she was. But she came to me. She was shrewd. She said, Wade, would you disciple us? Would you disciple me? I need to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. And my husband's going to listen. So you know what a pastor does? The pastor opens the Bible. And we just start reading the Bible together. You may be able to defeat my arguments, but you can't defeat the biblical arguments. And I love to watch the Bible work. And so for weeks, We would show up here on some Saturday morning and we would sit down and I actually took them through Christianity Explored, which we do every semester we do with people. But I kind of took them through that and we began to tell the gospel story and reading the gospel of Mark together. And all of a sudden, she was solidified in her belief and he had all kinds of questions. And our little hour together on a Saturday morning, as weeks went on, would turn into 2 hours and sometimes 3 hours because he would just be filled with questions. Great mind. PhD candidate. He had first-rate understanding in technologies. And we would talk about things and sometimes he'd bring up questions and say, I don't know, give me... And I would say to him, I don't know, give me a week to think about that. We'll talk about it next week. And half the time he'd come back the next week and he'd be answering his own question. Well, you know, I was reading the Bible and here in Genesis it says this... Good answer. Because one of the things that was truly evident was that God was at work in his life. I got to be a part of the means of the gospel call into his life, but it was God who was doing the real work. I just got the privilege of showing up and watching God at work. You know, I'd love for the gospel call and the good hope and confidence of the effectual call to capture you in such a way that you don't have to prove Jesus to people. Jesus proves himself to his people. You just show up and open the Bible with people. You just show up and be in conversation and relationship with people. You just love people right where they are with the love of Christ and the prayers of the saints and the joy of your salvation. And you join where God's at work. See, the gospel call and his effectual call, they run together in the life of the church. God does it, and God does it all. But we get the privilege of joining in the journey. You know, probably your story's not much different than that. It took more than human explanations to convince you of your deep need of Jesus. I was in the church almost every Sunday for 21 years and I was inoculated to the gospel. I had just enough of Jesus to think that I was a good person. And then Jesus laid the burden of my sin on my shoulders. And I was crushed. And all I could do was cry out, "Help me, Lord." Now God stacked some lumber in my soul. But when he set it aflame, I can tell you there were people speaking truth into my life, but God lit the flame. God called. And I can rest in the security of the work of another. I want you to have confidence this morning in your salvation because God is at work. His call is effectual. And as the people of God, we share that call because God will accomplish his good end. In our hearts, in our families, in our church, in our community, and even in the nations. When I was a boy in the 70s and the 80s, there were these commercials on TV about E.F. Hutton. Anybody know who E.F. Hutton is? Anybody know what happened to E.F. Hutton? You know, there used to be these commercials where two guys would be talking on a plane and one guy would lean over and say, "Well, my broker says I should invest this way." And the other guy would lean in and he'd say, "Well, my broker is E.F. Hutton." And everybody would stand up. Because when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Now, I don't know about E.F. Hutton's advice. The company got bought out and bought out and bought out. But I do know this. When God speaks, people listen. Transformation happens. And the joy of salvation grows. This morning, would you be thankful for the gift of grace? And would you be willing to share the gift of grace? And if you don't know the heart of grace, maybe God is at work in calling you this morning. We'd love to speak to you up front after the service. May the joy of Christ's calling give us security this day. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, how thankful we are that we are secure in the Word of Christ because of the work of Christ. Because your Spirit, using your Word, draws people to yourself. Father, I pray for those who are called effectually. Would you give them confidence this morning? And I pray for those this morning who are battling for certainty in who you are. Would you confirm your truth in their hearts by the power of your Spirit, that new life may be theirs, and the joy of Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.